Masechet Baba Masiya Daf Chaf Zayin Nu Mishnah Af Hasimla Ita Bichlal Kol Elu VeLama Yasad LaKish Eleha Lomar Lecha Ma Simla Miyuchedet SheYesh Ba Simanim VeYesh La Tobin Af Kol Davar SheYesh Bo Simanim VeYesh La Lo Tobim Chayav LaHachriz. This Mishnah is a bit unusual because it's a snippet from a Midrash Halacha on this pasuk regarding do not see the item of your friend lost and ignore it. Rather, you have to bring it in and take care of it and return it to the owner. And then this here is the key pasuk: v'chen taseh lachamodo, v'chen taseh lesimlato, v'chen taseh lechol abedat echicha shetaban ben musata lo tuchal lehitalem. This is what you should do if you see his donkey or his garment, and also anything that your brother lost. If you find it, do not ignore it. Rather, you should take care of it and give it back to him. So, we're focusing on this simlato. It already says any item that is lost. So why do you have to specify chamoro? Why do you have to specify simlato if you're already going to say everything? So that's what the Mishnah starts with. The garment is included in the general statement of anything that your brother loses, you have to return. So why is it specified? To make a hekesh, to make a juxtaposition, to say, just like a garment is unique in that it has a sign, it has siman, distinguishing mark. Any garment, you know your garment, right? You can tell the color, the shape, the design, the size. So generally, each garment is unique and you'd be able to give a siman. And also, it has a claimant. Garments are generally made or bought by somebody, and that means they want it. They would look for it if it was lost, as opposed to just some random item, a rock or something that no one would be claiming it. It's not significant to anyone. So therefore, the pasuk mentions clothing to say, what kind of items do you have to return? Anything that has a siman and also has claimants, then you have to announce it. Whereas if you find something that has no siman, like a coin that had no one can identify what it is and claim it, or an item that is just a plain old item that no one is claiming, that's not owned by anyone, those things you can keep for yourself. Good. May bichlal kol elu amarava bichlal kol avedat achicha. Now explaining that first line, that the garment was in the general statement. What's the general statement? It's the words kol avedat achicha. Anything that your brother loses, you have to return, and that's why he asked why a garment. Amarava lama li dekatav rechamana shor hamor se vesimla. So now he's asking, why did the pasuk mention so many things over here? Lo tira et shor achicha o et seyo nidachim v'italamta mehem hashib tishibem l'achicha. So here it mentions already ox and sheep. And then it says, if you don't know who it is, you have to bring it in your house and take care of it until your brother comes to find it. And then it adds chamoro also and simlato. So three types of animals and also a garment. Why do we need all these things, shor, chamor, se, and simla? And the answer is sirichi. Dikatav rachamana simla, hava mina hanemile, be'adim de gufa, v'simanim de gufa. Aval chamor, be'adim de ukaf, v'simanim de ukaf, ema la mehadirinan le, katav rachamana chamor, dafilu chamor b'simane ha'ukaf. If the pasuk only gave the example of garment, I already know why I need garment from the Mishnah, but if it only gave that, then I would say that you only return an item if there are either witnesses regarding identification of the item itself. See, witnesses, we've been speaking generally about a siman that the owner gives, but actually the highest level of testimony of evidence is if two witnesses come and say, oh, we know this garment, we know that this guy bought this garment, it's his, we recognize it. All right, that would be the best. So I would only know that you have to return something if there are witnesses about the thing itself, or if the owner gives a distinguishing mark about the thing itself. But what if the donkey is lost and the witnesses don't know anything about the donkey, but they can recognize the saddle, or the owner himself can give a distinguishing mark regarding the saddle? I might have thought that we do not return the donkey to him, because they only identified the saddle. So fine, return the saddle, but they didn't identify the donkey. And that's why the pasuk includes a donkey to say, even if there is identification of the saddle, you return the donkey also, because they're always connected to each other. That's the chidush of the word hamor. Okay, fine. How about ox and sheep? Why are those written? That's to include not only the animal itself that you have to return, but also it mentions ox, that you have to return the sheared wool of its tail, and the sheep, that it's wool that is sheared. You have to also return. Also, while you're holding it, you have to shear it. You have to take care of the animal. And when you shear it, then it grows more. It's good. It's valuable. And even though you might think, well, it's just a little bit of shearing from the tail, no, that also, you have to take care of the animal and return those items. Now we say, no, really, you don't need both. The pasuk could have just said ox, and that even if you have to even return the little bit of shearings from the ox's tail, that's just where it grows the wool, then all the more so you'd have to return, take care of and return the sheared wool of a sheep, which is much more. So therefore, all we need is shod. We have not explained se. Ela amarava chamor debod lidibiyuda v'sed abeda lidibra kol kashya. Rather, Rava says that these two items, we don't have an explanation of why the pasuk says it. The second one is one that's relevant to us, that the word se in the pasuk regarding a lost item, according to all opinions, we don't know what is coming to teach. Quite amazing that, you know, the rabbis find something to derive something from every word, but here we don't know why this word says here. The first one is relevant back to Baba Kama regarding damages from a pit, right? If an animal falls into someone's pit, if they dug the pit or they uncovered the pit, then the owner of the pit is liable for damages to an animal. But what if it's damages to other things like a human being or vessels? That was a machloket. And Rabbanan, against Rabbi Yehuda, said, Shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, that the two animals mentioned in that pasuk, shor comes to exclude, but not liability for human beings, that fall into the pit, and chamor comes to exclude vessels, that the owner of the pit is not liable. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He agrees regarding humans, that the owner of the pit is not liable. However, he disagreed with Rabbanan regarding kelim. And he thinks if vessels are broken in a pit, then the owner of the pit is liable. And therefore, the word chamor does not come to exclude anything. So Rava says, for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know what to learn from the word hamor. Now, ve'ema liglalim hudet de'ata, maybe the word se regarding a lost item is coming to include its dung that is valuable as fertilizer, and therefore the person that finds this animal has to collect all of the droppings and return it to the owner, which makes the job of finding a lost animal and returning it even harder. But maybe that's what the word says is coming to include. No, gilalim afkurem afkar lehu. No, dung, the owner renounces ownership. I mean, it is worth something, but it's worth very little. So, you know, the animals generally, if they're on a farm, they walk around and then fertilize it, but he's not expecting that whoever finds it is going to have to return also its dropping. So that's not it. Maybe the word se is coming to teach us that one has to return an item to a claimant based on simanim. That if he, even without witnesses, if the guy says, here's a distinguishing mark, then we return it to him. Because we have a question, we're going to focus on this question in a few minutes, whether returning something not based on witnesses, but only on a siman, is that a deoraita law or the rabbanan law? And so here, the Torah says, se, extra word to tell me that we return things even based on a siman. That means some simanim are deoraita because we derive it from this. Amri midi katani luhu tanal simanim gabe simla de katani ma simla miyuchedet sheyesh ba simanim yesh la tobim chayev lachriz av kol dabar sheyesh bo simanim v'yesh la tobim chayev lachriz shema'amina de se lav de simanim hu da'ata. So no, we already took care of simanim from the word garment, as we said in the Mishnah. just like a garment is unique in that it had it always has distinguishing marks and it has claimants, and you have to announce it and give it back to someone who does claim it. So too, anything that has a distinguishing mark and has a claimant, one has to announce it and give it back to a person who can identify those simanim. And therefore, we already learned from here that simanim are deoraita, and therefore, we don't need the word se to teach us that a siman is deoraita. Interestingly, here we conclude that siman is deoraita, but in just a couple of minutes, we're going to ask this question and look for all kinds of sources for it. All right, so now that we concluded that, agreeing with Rava that we don't have anything to learn from Se, we go on to a Braita that expands on this topic. Tino Rabbanan, Asher Tobad, Perat Lavedash, En Ba Shave Peruta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Umsataha, Perat Lavedash, En Ba Shave Peruta. The Pasuk regarding finding a lost object says anything that you lose. Here's the Pasuk once again. Vechen Tase Dechol Abedat Achicha, Asher Tobad Mim. Menu umsata. So too, you have to return anything that your brother that he loses asher tobad that is lost from him umsata, and that you find and don't ignore it. So it has this double language that he loses and also that you find. We learn from here asher tobad that excludes something that is not worth a shave piruta. So this is Tanakama learns from the word asher tobad. There has to be something substantive that he loses. If you lose something that's worth less than a piruta, that's the smallest copper denomination. Interesting, back then, the smallest denomination was made out of copper, just like the penny today. So we'll call it a penny. If it's worth less than a penny, which has no value, you can't pay something less than a penny, you can't return something, and you can't lose something less than a penny, it's not considered a significant item. Therefore, if you find like a paperclip that someone lost, you don't have to return it. It's not considered something that he lost because it's not significant enough. Tanakama learns it from the word asher tovad, whereas Rabbi Yehuda learns it from umsata. Rabbi Yehuda omer umsata perat aveda she'en ba shave peruta. You have to find it. It meaning a significant item, something that is worth at least a peruta, that comes to exclude something that is not a peruta. So they learn the same law, just one learns it from asher tovad, that you have to lose a significant item, and Mustas says you have to find a significant item. So now what's the difference between these two opinions? My benayhu amad abaye mashmaut dorshin ika benayhu mor nafkale mi asher toved umor nafkale me umsataha. We're going to see Rabaz will disagree in a minute, but Abaye thinks there is no halachic difference between them, no practical consequence. Rather, they're just arguing on what do the pisukim mean. One interpretation says it's from asher tovad, and one learns it from umsataha. Just two different ways of learning the same thing with no practical difference. According to the one who learns that less than a piruta you don't have to return from asher tovad, what do they do with the word umsata? It's also there in the pasuk. What do they learn with it? Ahu ba'ele lichetira benai. Damada benai umsata da'atai lide mashma. They learn something that Rabbenai taught, that the word umsata is only if it comes into your hand. This is something that's going to be relevant much later in the Masechet regarding returning something to a non-Jew. If you find it, it belongs to a non-Jew, you don't have to return it. Not only if it's on the ground, even if it comes into your hand. All right, umsata, that it comes into your hand, so that that's what they learn. Even if you pick it up, you don't have to return it to a non-Jew. That's what they learn from it. Uman de afkale me umsataha hay asher tobad my abid le. And the opinion that learns it from umsata, what do they do with the pasuk asher tovad? What will he do with asher tovad? He will use it to learn the halacha of what Rabbi Yochanan says in name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. How do you know that you have an item that a river came and swept it away? that if you find it, you're allowed to keep it. Even if you know it's a lost item and it's an item that has a siman and is identifiable, you can return it. You don't have to return it because the pasuk says anything that your brother loses, anything that is lost by him and you find it. You only have to return something that is lost by him, but is found by other people. In other words, if someone drops something in the middle of the street, he lost it, but it's in a civilized neighborhood where someone else will find it. Well, in that case, you have to return it. But if something is swept out to sea, that's a place where it's not found by anyone. You happen to be able to get it because, I don't know, you were swimming or it went up onto the shore and so you got it. But since it was lost into a place where Noah is lost to everybody, therefore you do not have to return it, even if you know that it's a lost item that can be claimed. Okay, now the other Tana who learns from Umsata that this halacha of Rabbeinai, where is he going to learn that from? If he uses Umsata regarding less than Shavet Peruta, then where does he learn this halacha of Rabbeinai? Ma'nafka me'le me'um sata, from the extra vav of sata. V'ida chad Rabbi Yochanan minale, and the person who learns the Shavet Peruta law from the Asher Tobad, so where is he going to learn this halacha that we quoted from Rabbi Yochanan? Nafka le mimenu, from the extra word mimenu, Asher Tobad, mimenu, Asher Tobad means less than Shavet Peruta, you don't have to return, and mimenu, you learn that if it's taken out by sea, then you don't have to return it. Ve'idach mimenu lo mashmale. And the other opinion, what is he going to do with the word mimenu? He says mimenu is part of the phrase. It's just about mimenu. It's all one phrase. It's not an extra word, and he doesn't learn anything from it. All right, all that was Abaye that said there's no practical difference between the two opinions. However, Rava amar piruta shehuzla ika benayhu mandamar me'asher tobad ika mandamar mi misata leka. There is a practical difference regarding something that was worth a piruta when it was lost, but then the value of it went down, and when it was found, it was no longer worth a shaveh peruta. Maybe he lost a grain or a fruit, an apple or something, and the price was more than the peruta, and then it went down in price by time it was found. So if you learn it from Asher Tobad, then you focus on the time when it was lost. It was worth a shaveh peruta when it was lost, therefore you have to find it. But the one who learns it from Umsata, that we focus on the time that it was found. And since it was not worth a Shavet Peruta when it was found, you don't have to return it. But we ask, Ulman Damar Asher Tobad, Ha Ba'inan Umsata Veleka. But even the one who says we learn it from Asher Tobad, he also has the word Umsata. So he would require that it also be a Shavet Peruta at the time of finding it, and it's not. So that doesn't make sense. Rather, the other way around, we're going to reject it for the same reason. Ela Peruta Shukra Ika Benayhu. Maybe when the time it was lost, it was not worth a Shavet Peruta, and then it went up in price. That would be a practical difference. Mandamar umsataika, mandamar asher tobad leka. If you learn from the word finding it, then when it was found, it went up in price, worth a peruta, you have to return it. But the one who learns it from asher tobad, at the time that it was lost, it was not worth a Shavet Peruta, and you don't have to return it. But we ask, ulmandamar umsata, habaina asher tobad veleka. But according to the opinion that says we learn it from umsata, but they also have the word asher tobad, so that's also necessary. And here, since at the time that it was lost, it was not worth a Shavet Peruta and only went up in price afterwards, so he still would not have to return it. So that is not a difference between the two opinions either. Ela peruta shukra v'huzla v'chazra v'hukra ika benayhu. Look how Rava is going to this extent to explain the practical difference between these two opinions. It is a case where at the time that he lost this fruit, it was worth a peruta. But then in the meantime, while it was lost, it went down in price. It was worth less. But then it went back up in price so that at the time it was found, it was again worth a peruta. Manda amar asher tobad ika, manda amar umsata ba'inan di'it ba shi'ur mesi'a, misha'at abeda ve'ad sha'at mesi'a. If you learn from the word asher tobad, so then he has it. At the time it was lost, it was worth a piruta. At the time it was found, he also has, it was that it was worth a piruta, so he does have to return it. However, the opinion that says we learn the law from the word umsataha, that would mean that it has to be worth a piruta continuously from the time it was lost all the way through the time it was found. And since it went down in price in the meantime, he does not have to return it. That is the practical difference between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Next question, Ibai Lehu Simanin, Deoraita od Rabbanan, is the law that you can claim a lost item based not on witnesses, but only on a distinguishing mark that's stated by the owner, and then you return it to him. Is that law a Deoraita law, or is it a rabbinic ordinance? The rabbis, they said, listen, not everybody always has witnesses to claim something, and we don't want all these lost items to go to continue being lost and not return to the proper person. So therefore, we'll lower the need for evidence, and we'll say, even if you have a siman, that's okay. There's various kinds of simanim, and generally everybody agrees that if it's a very unique distinguishing mark, like a hole in a certain spot on this letter is very unique, then even on the Doraita level, you would return the item. Where if it's a very general type of siman, that, you know, it's just like the color of a garment, which is lots of white garments, and so very not distinguishing, then everybody would agree that that would not work mid-Doraita. But rather, the question here is on the middle ground of things like there's a hole somewhere on this document, but you don't say exactly where. That's the type of siman that we're asking about. Is that deoraita or derabanan? Now, first, before we answer the question, my nafka mina, what would be a practical difference whether it's deoraita or derabanan? You still return the item. La'adure get isha b'simanim. You're right. For financial things, just regarding who's the owner of it, then you would return it no matter what, whether it's deoraita or derabanan. But if the item that's lost is a get, then that's an important question. Do you return a get? Because this will have an effect not on not only on who owns this parchment, but on whether this person, the woman, can prove that she's divorced. If she lost it, she can prove she's divorced. If the husband lost it, then she cannot prove that she is divorced. So this will make a big difference, but on marriage laws. If you say that a siman is doraita, and the woman gives a distinguishing mark, we'll give it to her. And then she'll still go and say, yes, she is divorced. That's fine. But if you say that this is only by rabbinic ordinance, when the rabbis made the ordinance, it was only to help for monetary matters, because we don't want things to go undeclared. We want to get back to the owner. But for Isura, to say that this woman is now permitted to remarry, that rabbis didn't make a takana for that. All right, so that's that makes a big difference. And now we'll see a few possible proofs. Tashema, afasim laita bichlal kol elu, velama yasata kisha lehelomar lecha. Masim la miuchedesh yesh la simanin, viesh la tobrin, chayav lachriz. Av kol avash yesh lo simanin, viesh lo tobrin, chayav lachriz. Tana, tobrin, isterichale, simanin, kedina spa. So the first proof is from our Mishnah that says, why does the Torah mention garment? It was already included in all the things that you have to return in the general category. So this is given specific focus to make a juxtaposition. And teach, just like a garment is unique in that it has simanim, there you go, and it also has claimants, and you have to return it. So to anything that has a siman and has claimants, you have to return. So this is a proof that we learn siman from the Torah. This is, in fact, the proof that we mentioned earlier. So this seems like a good proof, right? And the answer is no. The author of this Mishnah, the Tana, he really was only learning regarding claimants from the Torah. The fact that the Torah has this extra word of garments, that teaches only something that there are claimants to, that someone owns and will want back. That's the type of thing you have to return, but not if it's an ownerless item that nobody wants. That's the main thing he was learning. Since he mentioned that, oh, you know what, a garment is interesting in that it's unique and it has claimants. So he added in also simanim, even though we don't actually learn the law of simanim from here. So there's not necessarily a proof. All right, so now we're left without a proof. The proof that we had before, we assumed was correct when we read it earlier. Now we see is not an absolute proof. So we'll try again. Tashima, chamor b'simane ukaf. We learned earlier that the pasuk specifies a donkey that you have to return to teach you that even if there's a distinguishing mark only on the saddle, you return the saddle and the donkey with it. So you see there, right? The word chamor comes to teach something about simanim, right? And we say not necessarily ema be'ade ukaf. Maybe no, what it was teaching is that when there are witnesses that this saddle is yours, then you get the donkey back. But really, it was just the point of it was that you could return a donkey on the basis of identifying the saddle. But the identification of the saddle, maybe on a Doraita level, has to be with witnesses, and Siman would not be sufficient. So third attempted proof, Tashima, Vaya'im mecha aderosh achicha oto, v'italea da'atcha shi'tenenu lo kodim shidrishenu, ela dorshehu im ramayhu o eno ramay. The Mishnah on the next staff quotes this pasuk that says, if you find the animal of your brother, you should take it into their house and keep it with you until your brother comes to look for it. Now, isn't this obvious? What do you think that you could return it to him before your brother comes to look for it? You don't know who it belongs to, right? You're keeping it there so that he'll, when he comes and claims it, then you will return it to him. So what does it mean, keep it with you until he comes to claim it? Isn't that obvious? Rather, ad derosh achicha, you know what that means? That you should scrutinize your brother. When he comes to claim it, don't just return it to anybody who comes and says it's mine, but rather check him out to see if he's a swindler or if he's not a swindler, if he's honest. So you have to ask for proof that it's his. Now, what kind of proof? Maila besimanim. Doesn't that mean he has to offer a distinguishing mark that says this is my animal because I recognize, right, something about what it looks like or its saddle or something like that? And that's a proof that a siman is from the Torah because we're learning it from this pasuk. And the answer is lo be'adim. Not necessarily. Maybe it means from a Doraita level, you have to check him out based on witnesses. He has to bring witnesses that he's telling the truth. But simanim would not be good enough deoraita, and that's only the rabbanan. Tashema, one more proof. And me'idin ela al pasufa panim im hachotem. Afapi sheyesh simanim begufo ubekelav. Mishnah Masechet Yevamot says, if you want to identify a dead body to see if can his wife remarry or not, we do only identify based on the person's face. And that includes his nose. You have to see his cheeks, his nose. You have to identify what the person is, right? But like, you know, you have to see what he looks like and recognize him. And even if there are, as a siman, on his body or on his garment, that's not good enough. So what do we see from this? Shema'amina simanin lav deoraita. You see, simanim are not from another Torah law because, see, to recognizing his face, that's not a siman. That's as I saw the guy. I know it's him. That's how recognition works. Whereas just identifying some mark on his body or on his clothing is not sufficient to allow a woman to remarry. That means it's not deoraita. So that seems like a good proof, but we say not necessarily. Amri gufo da'aroch ve'gus kelav de'chashinan lish'ela. Regarding his body, the identification is based on how short he is or tall he is. It wasn't a distinguishing particular mark. On the other hand, this Mishnah says it's no good. It was talking about just a very general thing about how tall he is. But if it was a distinguishing mark, then that would be sufficient even on the Adoraita level. And when it says garments, the reason why you can't identify a person based on the garments is because maybe there were borrowed garments. You say, that shirt, I know that shirt belongs to Mr. A. Okay, maybe Mr. B borrowed the shirt, right? They were on vacation together. He borrowed the shirt. It doesn't mean that it's Mr. A that was wearing it. Mr. B could have been wearing it. And that, therefore, that's why these two things are not a proof. Maybe, in general, a distinguishing mark on the body would be, in fact, a good proof mideoraita. Now, we have a follow-up to this answer. Now, if you're going to worry about borrowing things, then we question the ruling that we had earlier, that if you can identify the saddle, then you return the donkey also. How could you do that? Maybe, why don't you say that maybe the saddle is borrowed? Maybe B, donkey A owned the saddle, but donkey B borrowed it, the saddle. And so just because you can identify the saddle doesn't mean the donkey is yours. Maybe the owner of this donkey lent you the saddle. And then we answer, no, people do not lend saddles because they don't fit the donkey and it will cause the donkey a wound. Every animal is a different size, and the saddles have to be custom made for it. And therefore, if you know that this is your saddle, then for sure that's your donkey too. Or we can answer that when this but this Mishnah said you don't identify a body based on clothing, that's when the identification of clothing was a very general one, that the person just said, oh yeah, they were wearing white, or they were wearing red, and say, oh yeah, I know this Mr. A was wearing red that day. That's not sufficient. It has to be very more specific. But if you say, right, it was checkered and this size and this shape and this make, and you specify something unique about that clothing, then in fact that may be fine, and therefore there is no proof from here that simanim are not deoraita. Ela hadetanya mesal kashur bekis o ba'aniki u betabat o shemesal ben kelav afilu lizman berube kasher v'isakadate chashinan lishela ki mesal kashur bekis amai kasher. Now another question following up back on the answer that we had before. That do you have to worry that people borrow things? Well, what are you doing? What are you going to do with this baraita? If you find a get after a while, after a long time, even that is tied to a pouch or purse or a signet ring, or you find it among the other garments, you find it in someone's suitcase with their other garments, even after a long time, the get is kasher. You can assume that it belongs to that person, that it's attached to their purse. Now, if you think that we should be a worry that sometimes people borrow items, then just because it's connected to someone's pouch or his purse doesn't mean it really belongs to them. Maybe they borrowed this purse and it was attached to a borrowed purse. So when you see the get attached to the purse of Mrs. B, maybe that purse really belongs to Mrs. A. And it was if Mrs. A identifies it, yeah, but maybe you're not the one that attached it. Maybe you lent it to Mrs. B, and therefore if this this get belongs to Mrs. B, not to Mrs. A, right? Nechush lishela. Why don't we worry about that? Amri kisvar niki v'tabat la mishali inashe. Kisvar niki mishum dim sammeni v'tabat mishum dim zayef. And we answer, no, people do not lend pouches and purses and signet rings. Why? Well, a pouch and a purse, because it's a bad sign. It's bad luck to lend someone a wallet or a purse. And a signet ring, because that's what they use to sign documents or to put a seal on an item that shows that it's yours. And therefore, you don't lend out your ring, because then people can forge a document with your name on it. So these are not things that people give to anybody else. Now we propose that the question of whether a siman is valid midoraita drabanan might be subject to a machloket between two tanaim. En me'idin al ha-shuma ve'elazar ben mahavai omer me'idin al ha-shuma. The Tanakama says we cannot identify the body of a dead person based on a mole, whereas Elazar ben mahavai says we can. Ma'ila b'hakami palge, the Tanakama sabasi simanin de rabanan, velazar ben mahavai sabar simanin de oraita. Perhaps Tanakama thinks that siman is only the rabanan. Therefore, you cannot allow a woman to get remarried based on a siman that is only the rabanan. Whereas Elazar ben mahavai thinks that simanan are de oraita, and a mold is such a siman. And that's why we can allow such an identification and allow a woman to get remarried based on that. But we reject the samarava dekula amasimanin deoraita v'hacha b'shuma mesuya beben gilo kami palge. Mor sabar shuma mesuya beben gilo, umor sabar shuma ena mesuya beben gilo. No, Rava says it could be that everybody agrees that simanin are deoraita. The question is, do you normally find a mole on two people that are the same, born under the same constellation? This is an astrological idea. that two people that are born under the same constellation will have similar physical features. So the Tanakhama thinks that a mole is found on two people that are the same constellation, and therefore, just because someone says, I saw a mole on this person's right leg in this spot, doesn't mean that that's really the person. It could be their constellational twin that also has it. Whereas Elazar ben Ma'avai says, no, there's no such thing, and if this person has a mole on that spot precisely, then nobody else has it, and therefore it's a good biblical sign. Iba et ema dekula ama shuma ena mesya ben gilo racha ben simane nasu nishtanot lachar mita kami palge mosa ba simane nasu nishtanot lachar mita mosa ba simane en asu nishtanot lachar mita. Or could be that everybody agrees that there's no such thing as moles that are found on two people under the same constellation. Rather, it's going to be a unique thing. However, the question is, do such distinguishing marks change after a person dies? So Tanakhama says these things are likely to change. Therefore, you can't identify a person that you knew when they were living that they had a mole in a certain spot based on something happens after death where those things change, and therefore and that's not reliable. Whereas Elazar ben Ma'avai says, no, these types of marks do not change after death, and therefore they are reliable for identification. Or maybe everybody agrees that these types of marks don't change. And everybody agrees that in general, simanin are only valid midrabanan. But here, the question regarding a mole, is a mole considered a very clear sign, the kind of sign that would be like a hole in a get on a very specific letter, where even midoraita, that would be valid. And so in this case, Elazar ben Ma'avai says, a mole is not considered such a distinguishing, a clear-cut distinguishing mark, and therefore it's not reliable. Whereas Tanakhama said, a mole, that's like a very clear distinguishing mark, and it's reliable even on a doraita level. Amar Rava, im timse lomar simanim lav deoraita, hechi mehadirinan avedata besimanin. And that Rava says, if you think that a siman is not deoraita, how can you return things in general? After all, the Torah said that if someone lost an item, you have to return it based on witnesses. So how can you now overturn the Torah and say you can return it based on the siman? The original owner would have a claim to come back and say, hey, the Torah said that you cannot return it based on just a siman. Why did you give it to that guy, right? You have to give it only based on witnesses. And the answer is, denichale le Moshe aveda denhedar besimanin ki hechi dechi avda le lidide name nehedru le besimanin. We can assume that the person who finds it, it's he would like to return it based on simanin, because he gets benefit too. What goes around comes around. When this finder, when he himself at some point, future point, loses something. Everybody loses something at some point. So he would want to be able to reclaim the item based on a siman, and therefore he decides that he would like to give it to someone else based on a siman when he finds it. That is Rava's answer. Amar le Rav Safra le Rava, v'chi adam oseh tova l'asmo b'mamon she'eno shelo? Rav Safra says, this doesn't make sense. Can a person benefit himself with someone else's money? It's very nice that if you lost something, you're the finder, then you would like that if you lost something, then you would want to reclaim it based on the siman. But you cannot impose that on someone else who lost this item, then assume that they would also want to. So just because it's better for you in the future doesn't mean that you can do that necessarily to someone else. Ela nichale lebal avedal mehav simanin ulemishkele. Medayada de adim lete memar amar kule amalayad simanim muvakim dida. Vana yahib na simanin muvakim dida ushkal nala. Rather, we give the following generalization of a person who lost an item, their psychological makeup. It's anyone who loses an item would like to be able to reclaim it based on simanim, because a person knows that edim, he doesn't have witnesses. Generally, it's hard to get two witnesses that can testify that you own a certain item. And therefore, a person will say, nobody else knows these distinguishing marks that I know, and therefore, I want to be able to give distinguishing marks products and collect it. Since everybody who ever loses something would agree with this premise, so then as long as everyone in the world agrees to that, so then the halakha works and we're not going to go wrong. Because if there's one person who doesn't go along with this logic, he could say, oh no, I only want something that I lose to be reclaimed with witnesses. And thereby he'll guarantee that no one ever reclaims something that's his falsely. But that what kind of weird guy is that? We assume everybody would want to use the Simanim system because it's pretty good, right? Who else would know a distinguishing mark besides the owner? And therefore, this is a good system that the rabbis are allowed to do because everybody is mochel. Everybody forgives each other on the Deoraita law and allows everything to be reclaimed based on Simanim. Very interesting. Ela haditnan, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel lomer echad halove mishelosha yachzid lalove, shelosha shelovu min achad yachzid lamalve, nichale lalove. But how do you explain then this Mishnah, one that we learned already, that according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, if you find three promissory notes and all of them relate to one love who borrowed, one borrower who borrowed from three different people, then you return it to the borrower. On the other hand, if it's three different people that borrowed from the same lender, all three have the same lender, then you give it to the lender. Now, if you would ask these borrowers about the logic that we just said, right, and these borrowers says, what do you think? Should we return in the second case when it's all the name of the same lender is mentioned in all three, and you ask the borrowers, should we return these documents to the lender based on just a siman? Would they say, oh yeah, we all agree to that? No, they would not, because they don't want to pay this loan, whether they owe it or not. They'd rather not pay it, and so therefore they would not agree with this logic. And all you need is a handful of people to disagree with the logic to break it apart. And so now you would not be able to explain this Mishnah. And Rava answers, Amale hatam sevarahu echad halove mishelosha yachzir lalove degabe love shechicha gabe malve la shechicha shemamina me love neful shelosha. Rather, he says, the logic of this Mishnah is not based on the logic that we said here, that everybody in the world would want to be able to reclaim something based on the Siman. Right? You're right, that's not true for a Love. He would not want a loan document to be given back to the Malve based on the Siman. But here, it's not relying on this general agreement of a particular Siman, but rather, this is just logic, because if you find loan documents that where you have one borrower in all three, then that makes sense that the borrower would be carrying around all three of them. What would three loan documents with the same borrower be doing with one of the lenders only? So therefore it makes sense that the borrower is the one that dropped them. And the same is true in the opposite case, when you have three that have the same name of the same lender, so then it makes sense that the lender had them and he's the one that dropped them, because what would one of the borrowers be doing with three documents that all belong to the same lender? Ela haditnan masa tachrich shel shtarot o aguda shel shtarot hare ze yachzir hachi named nichale lelove lahadure le lemalve. Rather, a better question on that logic is from this Mishnah. If one finds a roll of documents or a bundle of documents and a person is able to identify them based on the roll or the bundle, then you return them. So here, these are loan documents, and would the love agree? This is based on the logic. It's not based on the fact that all three are from the same lender or borrower. Rather, it's based on a siman that the person who owns them gives. And here, would the borrower agree and say, yeah, return this to the malveh, right, based on simanim? He would not agree to that logic. So since there is one case where that logic does not apply, we cannot say across the board that everybody would want a lost item to be returned based on a siman. Therefore, Rava is going to change his mind and argue that simanim are deoraita, and that will be the subject for the next staff. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen.